Hi, today is November 5th, 2016. This is Mobile News Podcast number 182. I'm Todd Agasawara with my good friend John Westfall and our special guest Frank McPherson. And this is the 2016 World Series episode since, although I am neutral, my two friends here had favorites. So my condolences to the good Dr. Westfall and my congratulations to Frank, whose Cubs, after 108 years, took the series. It took a while.
Yes, it did. My entire life. And more.
And more. Yeah.
Say the same things about my Indians since they last won in 1948. Yeah. So that's been my entire life plus more.
Plus some. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, though. You know, it's two teams. Either one would have been well-deserving of the title. And the one who waited the longest in this case... one. Mm-hmm. But in any case, I as I was saying to you before we started the podcast, I'm really not a baseball fan, but even I enjoyed everything, especially that last game. That was one for the record books. And I know one of my comments to my friends on Facebook was, the happiest person right now is whoever has the book and movie rights to the 2016 Cubs, because that's going to be a heck of a movie.
Yeah, it's well, you know, to be honest, as a lifelong Cubs fan, there is a part of me that doesn't really know how to feel or react. And not only the fact that they won the World Series or got to the World Series, but that they had the best record in baseball. You know, just even with that, you know, there's a common phrase used throughout sports. Cubs fans know it, probably say it more than others. It's wait till next year. And historically, Cub fans probably tend to start saying that in May, you know, a month or so into the season. Because usually that's what's happened through my life, is that the Cubs have a poor April and get into double digits behind in their division or, you know, that they're in. And they're out, you know, don't have much of a chance.
And they're just arithmetically out of it after that.
Yeah, and this year is the complete opposite of that, because they started from the very beginning in front and stayed in front and extended their lead. And it's a very different experience. And the best news of all is that, you know, most of the players on the team are young. And so barring injuries, this should be a lot of fun for at least the next 2 or 3 years, I would hope.
Well, good luck to Frank, my Cubs fan friend. And John, there's always next year.
Well, that is something that Cleveland sports fans know very, very well. Because up until this year when the Cavs won the NBA championship, we had the longest active title drought as a city. So at least Chicago has had good things over the last 20, 30 years. So that is why I think we can empathize quite a bit with Cubs fans, because we haven't had anything.
Yeah, and well,
so, this year?
Look at it this way, guys. In Hawaii, we have absolutely no, count them, zero major league teams. We did used to have a AAA ball team here, the Hawaii Islanders, but that was, gosh, I don't know when they folded, but that was a long time ago.
But how many people sit on a beach or somewhere picturesque in Hawaii and go, wish I was playing sports right now?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Seems like you'd be more interested in relaxing. But,
No. Okay. You'd be surprised. This is a state of sports nuts. And since we do not have our own team, they have adopted other teams. A lot of them on the West Coast, but, you know, because it's geographically closest to us. But maybe we should talk about that sometime. You know, it's, as people migrate to places, and for those of us who are remote, you know, how we choose our teams and how we watch them. Because, you know, I guess this is slightly technological. I think I've mentioned it before. I'm old enough to remember that years ago, we didn't even get satellite feeds of games. So we would get a game maybe a week after it was played on TV. So, any rate.
Well, I'm originally from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so the state team, at least for baseball, is the Detroit Tigers. But geographically, that is further distance away than the Milwaukee Brewers, which would be the closest to where I grew up, or the Chicago Cubs. I became a Cubs fan growing up, quite honestly, because of a cable TV channel out of Chicago called WGN. They were one of them in TBS out of Atlanta were the two of these kind of regional super stations that first came into existence probably in the mid-80s, early 80s on cable. And so our cable provider in my town I grew up had WGN. And so and Cubs were on every single day and just got to start watching them. And that combined with having some family friends that were also Cub fans kind of drew me in.
That's interesting. We also in Hawaii used to get WGN in the 1980s. Yeah. But
I think in the 1980s, everyone got WGN because there were only about 30 cable stations. Yeah, there were only about 30 cable stations at the high end in mid-1980s. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is actually appropriate that we reflect back on the past because one of the many reasons we asked Frank McPherson back was to celebrate the 8th anniversary of the Mobile Views podcast sometime this month. I can't remember the exact date. 8 years ago, I kicked off the Mobile Views podcast. I think Frank joined me in episode number 2 or 3. And, you know, it's been off and on, but since John has been so nice to co-host this thing with me for the last couple of years, it's been pretty regular. We've been pretty close to every week.
We caught up quite a bit. I think I joined, I want to say, December of 2013.
That sounds about right.
Somewhere around here. And we were at, my first was, I think, Mobile View 69 or 68.
So. Right. And that had been the first in like a couple of years, I think. I think there had been a drought for like a year or two.
So now the fact that we're at 182,
yep,
we have been really kicking it into gear. It's Frank is a good symbolic guest of the early era of Mobile Views, and Todd, you're the only constant of Mobile Views.
That's true. I'm better than Johnny Carson. I've never had a guest host. For those of you old enough to remember Johnny Carson.
We did talk about when you traveled this year.
That's true. When I was in Scotland, we considered doing something, but in any case. So there's only a couple of things, and maybe we can reminisce about things of olden days in tech towards the end, but mostly kind of grumpy. I'm kind of grumpy, and I think Frank, Frank's not grumpy because his Cubs won. And John, you're a little grumpy. Product wise, so let's get started.
A little grumpy, I found something to make myself feel a little better.
So. Okay, so we'll start off with grumpy item number one for me, and that is I have a Nexus 6 on the Google Fi network, and I'm still waiting for Android 7.0 Nougat over the air. And I know I can go download the firmware and forced install, but I prefer to get the OTA. And quite honestly, I understand 7.1 is coming up pretty soon. And I still don't have 7.0. I think Nougat still is at 1% in usage amongst all Android devices as measured by Google, by the way. I mean, it is not been a, its adoption rate is like literally near zero.
Well, I don't know if there is even, I was just thinking of looking at that. I don't know if there is still a Android phone that's running Nougat other than the Nexus phones. Are there?
I know. You're right. Absolutely. Only the Nexus phones are running Nougat as far as I know. And that would start with a 6P, and I assume the people lucky enough to have the Pixel. And I think Sven Johansson said his Nexus 6 has Nougat, and he's had it for about a month now. But I am apparently, perhaps I grumble too much, and Google has frowned upon this behavior of mine and decided that I should be punished. But I'm kind of annoyed. Frank, I know you're an Android user. But you're not running a Nexus phone, right?
Yes, I am. I'm running. I have a Nexus 6P.
Oh, okay.
So my phone was one of the first ones to get Android 7 Nougat. So, the question is, what's the state of affairs for the 6? I mean, it's, you know, they've officially dropped the Nexus 9 tablet. Right. I don't think it's going to get any more releases. And I was just looking that up. I will have owned mine 2 years at the end of November. And I think I got it maybe a month after it first released. So it's only a 2-year-old tablet. Right. Your phone actually is probably roughly around that same time.
Yes. The Nexus 6, the 6, not the 6P, the one I have, the 6 and I think maybe the 5X are getting the Nougat update. I don't know about 7.1. But I know that I've been reading enough on the, you know, who's getting what to know that it's supposed to get it. Well, you know, and Sven got it, so I know the 6 is supposed to get it. But we'll see. And this will be the last update for my phone.
It's just really bizarre that you haven't gotten it. I always thought that was the benefit of the Nexus line, was that you got updates with fair bit of regularity. And you're right, with 7.1 about to drop in the near future, it was just way too long.
Right. And
yeah, and I wonder if there's something I hate to say it, but almost technically that's going on as far as is your phone not getting the update.
Oh, like something
I know
wrong
that
with, yeah, with my specific
well,
phone.
The only reason why I say that is that I know even in my experience with my phones, other Nexus phones that I've had, where you don't, you know, it seemed like you wouldn't get an update for a while. Yeah. And what I found, I don't have it at my fingertips, but there had been ways to basically, you know, either wipe the partition, the data cache partition that's on these phones. It kind of doesn't do a complete wipe. It kind of does that. There's been ways to basically trigger the push because it did prioritize, like if it thought you had a brand new device or connecting in for the first time, that it would trigger the push and you'd get it faster. You know, you'd get it right away, basically.
Yeah.
And of course you could, I don't know, but you know, there is the Android beta, android.com/beta, I think it is, you can sign up for basically the beta program. That's what I actually did with my 6P, is I signed up for the beta and I tried it out in the initial beta release, and I actually went back, I tried it a bit and it wasn't, some of the apps weren't compatible, so I reverted back, which that resulted in a complete factory reset of the phone. But in this day and age, that isn't a horrible thing to recover from. And then what I did do is that when it became officially released, I went back to the beta site and I re-enabled it, because you can really just toggle it on or off at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pushed to me almost instantly the live update to Nougat. So I didn't sit around and wait for it. I kind of subverted the process by going through the beta program.
Yeah,
and then now they've actually pushed a 7.1 beta out, and I did the same thing. I went off and said, well, I'm not going to take a chance messing around with that.
Right.
So I signed, disabled it for my phone, and I'm kind of waiting to see if I hear anything. And someday here soon, I may re-enable it to get the latest update in that fashion.
And that's a good tip. And something, since I'm just sitting, literally just sitting around waiting for the OTA, instead of waiting for the OTA, I may just have to force it, since I would like to see if I can take advantage of the new features like split screen and that sort of thing. Not sure I'd use it, because I hardly use split screen on my iPad, but I find it interesting.
I don't use it. I've never used it on my phone.
Okay. Next thing, I'm still kind of waiting, is so, you know, one of the big things that was announced like much earlier this year was that Android apps would be running on production Chromebooks, Chrome OS. And my expectation, for whatever stupid reason, maybe because Google announced it like that, was that it would be available in October of 2016, which is, you know, last month. A couple of folks, including Acer, announced some really nice new Chromebooks, touchscreen Chromebooks, which would presumably run really nice with Android apps running on Chrome OS. And so I've been waiting to order my Acer Chromebook R13, which has gotten very good reviews so far. I think very good. It's not perfect, of course, but I think it's been getting pretty good reviews. But apparently you can run the Chrome OS beta that allows you to install Android apps, but it's still a beta. It's still not production, and I would prefer to buy a production device. But I may have to pull the trigger and just go buy one. Although it's really weird. I think on Amazon, at least, they're selling it over list, which, you know, kind of makes me wonder. I mean, it's a, like a third party. You can still order it, freight free. You don't have to pay for shipment, but still, it's above the $3.99 list price. So I'll think about it. But it's something I do want. I use my iPad Pro Junior, as I call it, the 9.7-inch version, as a instant-on notebook a lot, and I think an actual instant-on notebook with a really nice keyboard, relative to the little keyboard. And you know, I bought the Apple's smart keyboard cover for the iPad Pro. It's good, but it's still narrow, relatively speaking. So having a 13-inch notebook with a 13-inch, you know, appropriately sized keyboard would probably be a lot more fun. I'm waiting for that. One other grumpy thing before I get to John's grumpiness is my headphones. You know, it's kind of a no-name thing, but I have these great, inexpensive Bluetooth headphones I bought for earbuds, really, that I bought from Amazon last year. Worked great with my iPhone 6 Plus. Worked great with my iPhone 6 Plus with iOS 10 installed on it. But when I got my 7 Plus... and it, you know, of course, with 10 on it, it just does not like that headset for whatever reason. It works fine with the Amazon Echo. It works reasonably well with my Bluetooth add-on for my car. But my headset, it always pairs, and then it's not actually working, so I have to disconnect it, manually repair it, and then it works. So it does work. It just won't work instantly. So I went on to Amazon this morning and ordered another inexpensive set of headphones, but with pretty decent ratings, called the Fotiv, from Fotiv. So we'll see how this works. Okay, John, your grumpiness.
All right, I can be grumpy, and anyone who's been listening to me for the last few weeks on here knows that I've been talking about and wanting to get a pair of Apple AirPods. My history with music and audio is kind of interesting. I at least find it interesting. Of course, I find a lot of things about myself interesting. But I have at present 5,311 items on iTunes.
Wow.
I listen to a good amount of music. I enjoy music quite a bit. And I like listening to my collection and listening to podcasts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last, 4 or 5 years, I've used really cheap headphones. I've used Bluetooth headphones that have been kind of, you know, sub $40 Bluetooth headphones. I've been using Apple EarPods because, as I joke, I think I'm the only person in the world whose ears they actually fit. And I've also been sort of just looking for a good pair of Bluetooth earphones that I've liked. And the ones I have, I just haven't liked too much. So that's what I was really excited about AirPods. But AirPods are being pushed off till, latest I heard one rumor, says January. And so I thought, well, I kind of would like two. I have two new usages that I need. First, it's something I can take out, but also it'd be nice to have a pair of headphones I could actually have at home that I could use for, you know, listening around the house. So I started looking into what my options were and came across some interesting things. So last month when Apple announced AirPods, or I guess 2 months ago now, they talked about this W1 chip. And the W1 chip is basically Apple's secret sauce, because while AirPods and other devices do use just regular Bluetooth, the W1 chip provides some integration features with Apple devices that are pretty cool, actually, when you think about it. One being that once you pair with one of your devices, and the pairing takes all of about, you know, 5 seconds, then all your other devices are paired as well, because iCloud basically stores the pairing information. So you can swap to iPads or Mac OS devices with relative ease. So though that was kind of cool, that was one reason I really wanted the AirPods. Well, it turns out that there are 3 new Beats headphones, or headset products, that are also using the W1 chip. And the one that I found interesting and actually purchased this week, and it's coming early next week, is the Beats Solo 3 wireless on-ear headphones. These are not big cans, but they do go over your ears, and they are quite pricey. But I am interested to actually try my hand at more expensive audio devices. The last time I tried this was about 6 years ago. I had one of the first pair, within the first year that Beats came out, I had one of their regular just earbud versions. And unfortunately, it had a build defect. And so I sent it back, got a credit, and never bothered to get something else in the future. So this is my way to tide myself over. The reviews online are mostly good of this, but I will be looking forward to giving my opinion of it next week after I've had them for a few days to play with.
Okay, so explain to me this pair with everything thing. So let's say you have your iPhone and your iPad sitting in front of you. Which one does it know which one is playing, and or what if both are playing?
You can pull up from Command Center and choose through the same interface you use for AirPlay what output you would like.
Okay.
And if you have both of them set and you start playing music on one, it will and the other one is not playing, I believe it can auto-switch if they're both selected. But in general, it basically selects itself on and off from what I've seen of other reviews.
Okay. One of the scenarios I'd like you to tell me how if you already know, you can tell me now. But if you don't and experiment it later. So let's say you're listening to something on your iPad. Let's say you're watching Netflix. And a call comes into your phone. And I guess if you have, what's that feature turned on that lets you ring on your iPad? Not Continuum. Is that it? No. Whatever it's
called. Yeah, Continuity.
Continuity, yeah. So I don't get many voice calls, so I've never really played with Continuity much. But I assume it would ring your iPad, and would it interrupt? Would it pause Netflix? You know, that's kind of the scenario.
It does. About. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Because I've had that. I actually, when I first started using Continuity, I had it ringing through to all my devices. And man, that gets really loud when you have a lot of devices. And I've actually encountered a really annoying bug with Continuity, whereas my Mac Mini server will get logged in occasionally to iMessage, and it will start ringing. If I kill the ringer on the other devices, so say I hit ignore, whatever, and the call stops, occasionally the ringing does not stop on the Mac Mini. And then I have to literally VNC into the Mac Mini and hit ignore for a call that stopped ringing on other devices 2-3 minutes earlier. So
I just looked it up.
Continuity is not perfect, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I just looked it up, by the way. The Beats Solo 3 is really expensive. Well, from my point of view, to audiophiles, it's not expensive, but it's like $300.
Yes. Yeah, I am going from the. This is making AirPods at $159 look kind of cheap.
Yeah, really.
But like I said, I have never had really any sort of higher end headphones other than a pair I had for about a week and then had to return. So we'll see. I might like them and keep them. I might not like them and get rid of them. And I might go, gee, maybe there's other things. Maybe next year I'll have an addiction to like $500 headphones. Hmm. Well, I hope. Hope I don't make it to that, but we'll
it you know, and it does have up to 40 hours of battery life, which is pretty impressive. I'm just kind of looking at the specs.
Mm-hmm.
Has
that
a microphone.
Is the other thing that most reviews have really touted. The weirder thing, the only two things that are sort of downsides to it is it charges over mini USB or micro USB, which many people are going, well, that's weird. Why not Lightning, since, you know, Beats is owned by Apple?
Yeah.
That really, the micro USB thing doesn't bother
no,
me
doesn't
at
bother
all.
Me.
Kind of thought that was it was kind of a funny complaint that the blogs are making a lot out of it. And the build quality people worry a little bit about because there's a lot of plastic where other manufacturers apparently use more metal, at least around the external. The internal, the band and things like that have metal in them, but for me, if it's lighter weight, that's more interesting to me. I care more about being able to pick it up without needing to lift weights to pick it up. So,
yeah. Well, it's got 4 out of 5 stars with 12 customer reviews on Amazon. So I'm surprised because my other comment to you was, Beats does not have a reputation as a maker of high quality audio. I mean, it's expensive and
that's
it looks
true.
Nice, but
they they do have that reputation for the thumping bass that overpowers everything.
Right.
And reviews of the newer Beats products over the last 6 months have said that that is not as bad as it used to be. But in honesty, I'm actually really curious, since I do live a lot in an Apple ecosystem, of how this W1 chip works and if it works really well and if it's seamless. And because I always, you know, I know intuitively that Bluetooth pairing is not that big a deal. Even the worst case scenario, it's a minute to maybe turn off a Bluetooth device, turn on and off Bluetooth on your phone, repair. It doesn't take that long. But as you pointed out earlier, it's annoying whenever you have to repair. Even if it only takes a couple of minutes or a minute at the most. So
I, like I said, I'm not an audiophile. Frank, how about you? What, do you use expensive headsets, or you just tend to be like me and use whatever comes with your phone?
No, I'm deaf in one ear.
Oh.
So a stereo headset doesn't really help me a whole heck of a lot in that regard. But what I bought a little over a year ago is the Validine V-Free Bluetooth wireless headphone. This is an older headphone. Even last year when I bought it, I think it was old. I think at one time this was probably top of the line and cost hundreds of dollars. I bought mine for $65, and I just looked, and it's available out at Amazon now for $37. So, actually, comfort is an important thing. And I find this to be a very comfortable over-ear headset. It's Bluetooth. It sounds good for me. I've read reviews. Seems like most people who know about these things have better hearing than I do. Have had good things to say about it as well. So, but no, I don't normally invest in a lot of money on sound. I'll go dirt cheap, but spending hundreds of dollars on a headset would probably not make a lot of sense for me.
Yeah, and for those wondering, at the moment, so I'm on a MacBook Pro at the moment, but I do have a pair of earbuds plugged in to help me hear John and Frank better. And I believe I'm using a beautiful blue colored Panasonic headset. Probably cost me about $8. So
I've got a pair of those as well. Those $8 Panasonics are nice.
No complaints.
It's gonna be interesting. I don't know how if I will notice much of a difference, but figure every geek has their ways.
Absolutely.
But if companies get rid of these standard headphone jacks, these cheap headphones that you have, because I assume, Todd, the one you have is a wired headphone, right?
It is. It is a mini jack.
The days of those cheap headphones might go away if that really catches on. It'll be interesting to see if it catches on, because, like, you know, Google's Pixel still has a standard headphone. So I'm really not sure a lot of companies are going to follow Apple's lead in that regard.
Well, certainly not with Lightning, that's for sure. We'll not with a Lightning thing, which is, it still bothers me. Every now and then I'm getting, like, instead of using the headphones or the Bluetooth, because the Bluetooth headphones were having such problems with my iPhone, I was going to grab a headset and talk to somebody on the phone, something I rarely do, but, you know, I do that every now and then. And I grabbed a random headset. I go, well, this won't work, will it? Unless I go find for it.
The thing about Lightning that I'm finding more and more interesting is just, so when Apple introduced Lightning in 2012 with the iPhone 5, everyone was very upset that they were getting rid of the 30-pin connector, because the 30-pin connector industry had been around. Everyone had a bunch of 30-pin connector, this and that. Why fix it if it ain't broken? And then Apple said, hey, it's a better connector. It's reversible, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But at that point, we had been using 30-pin for something like 8 or 9 years.
It's been a while,
I think it was the iPod. Well, it was an early version of the iPod that came up with the 40-pin. So I remember thinking, geez, people, stop complaining. You had 8 years on a connector, and this was at the same time where we saw everything else go from proprietary connector to mini USB to micro USB, and finally start to level out at micro USB. Although in 2012 and even today, there are still some proprietary connectors here and there. So now we've got this new connector, USB-C, where it basically has the same benefits that Lightning had in 2012. Mm-hmm. So USB-C is now out and starting to get wide adoption. And I think it's only a matter of time before Apple switches over to USB-C from Lightning for everything. It's just interesting to me that at that point, Lightning will have been around for probably, well, I think the earliest we would see this happen might be next year. And so Lightning will have been around for at least 6 years or so on its own. And I just know people are going to complain about that as well. Even though 6 to 8 years on connector is way better than we had in the era before 2012 and 2010, when we were changing connectors with every new device. And, you know, we kind of went through that shaky period of time between 1990 and 2010, where we had a bunch of weird connectors here and there. Before that, you had some standard connectors. You had less things to plug in, so you had less variation of those things.
Yeah, I think the difference is, though, that as mini plug audio jacks go, is that this hasn't been around seven, eight. It's been around for decades.
Yes.
Probably going back to the original transistor radios from the 1960s or whenever they first came out.
Actually, if I remember right, mini jack is even older than that.
Okay. Might go back to ham radios. Remember. I don't know. But it's many decades old. Not like one or two decades old. It's many decades old. So, you know, it has a long history to kind of jettison. I mean, I remember when parallel ports went away and RS-232 DB25s and then DB9s went away. And I can understand that. But getting rid of the mini jack is a drastic measure.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like getting rid of the USB-A port, right? I mean, Apple kind of forced it upon us, right? They got rid of the parallel port and serial port and says, well, you got USB, that's all you need. And we said, okay. That was about, 20 years ago, mid-1990s? So it's been around a while, and I liked USB-A plugs. I mean, I don't know why we got rid of them, but at any rate. Or the SD card slot, for that matter, which isn't as old, but I think that's a big problem, too.
The mini connector is actually descended from the original phone connector from phone switchboards dating to 1878.
Okay, so it's been around a while, is what we're saying.
Yeah, it's a small version of the quarter-inch 1878 version.
It's been around long enough to see the Cubs win twice.
Yes. And long enough for, you know, many, many interesting developments in the world. That was the fun thing about watching the Cubs sort of come through the World Series and even the NLCS, because that was when you started seeing the last time Cubs won, you know, this hadn't happened yet.
Right.
Babe Ruth was 13.
The best one I liked is it's the best thing that happened since sliced bread, because last time the Cubs won in 1908, you could not buy sliced bread.
I heard that somewhere. That was hilarious. It is literally longer than sliced bread has been around. that is something to consider.
Well, like I said, I'm sore a little bit that my Indians did not win, but I kind of got over it. Although, I will say it hurt pretty bad when the next day, the first student to walk into my office for an advising appointment had on a Cubs jersey.
Oh, burn.
And she knew that I was an Indians fan. And she knew that she is quite reliant on my help as a senior to get her ready for grad school and make sure all her paperwork is in order for graduation. She took a considerable risk wearing that Cubs jersey.
That young lady lives on the edge. That's all I can say.
She does.
No, it was a compliment of your integrity. She knew that you would not, cross that path through your professionalism as a professor.
That's a good point. I'll buy that.
We'll go with that.
I will buy that. Okay. Well, I thought we wouldn't have a lot to say, but we actually did have a lot to say. So I think I am going to try to go see Doctor Strange at the movie theater, despite my disdain for crowds. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks to Frank McPherson for guesting with us, and we'll have you back soon. Maybe when I finally get Nougat, and if I ever get a Chromebook. Frank, I keep forgetting. You said you bought a Chromebook, right?
I have a Chromebook. Okay. I have an Acer, but it's now pretty old, actually.
Yeah, so it's not supported
at least almost
for
a couple
new...
years.
Yeah,
no,
so
no. I'd have to buy a new one in order to run the Android apps on it.
Well, I need some advice from you on Chromebooks in general, even without the Android apps, because I'm still trying to figure things out. One of the things I'd love to be able to do is record an actual podcast in a Chromebook. I don't know if I have to use one of the services like SoundCloud or something, but it's something I'd like to not be so dependent on my Mac, because I can only record these things on my Mac. I use a product called Audio Hijack Pro to record Frank and John on Skype, and I know there are similar software on Windows, but I've tried a few and they don't seem to work as well.
But do you know of any Linux apps that would do it for you? Because you can run basically Chrome OS is a Linux kernel underneath. You can run Crouton. It kind of runs, gives you the Linux access.
Yeah. Well, it's something I got to talk to you about when I actually get a Chromebook. I'm still waiting. I mean, like I said, if I can get the price at least at list, I don't want to pay more than list. That's crazy.
Actually, what you probably want to research is, since you're doing it for Android apps, is if there's an Android app you could use for recording.
And I have not found anything like that yet. Let me rephrase that. I think I found one, but you got to essentially root your phone, and I would prefer not to do that. Like running my phone stock for support purposes. But anywho, again, MobileView's 182, 8th anniversary. Thanks to Frank, thanks to John, and we will talk to you next time.